Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
He could not be any fabulouser, and that would be Rob Center, our producer. He's on the other side of the glass. Usually that's a barrier, but now we kind of like it. Kind of works out great, making sure that he stays safe. So we appreciate his help and hard work, Mr. Rob Center, our fabulous producer. On the news line with us now, Joanne Troutman, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. Thank you for checking in this morning. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, I do appreciate that. There must be a thousand things going on. We've taken such a major pivot point from where we were in January when we talked about that report about teenagers and trying to get more resources there. Then we did Be Kind, and everybody kind of jumped in that in February. Now, here we are in March and then into April, and a pandemic kind of gives you another pivot point for all of your hard work. Give us a quick overview of what the United Way is doing these days.
Sure. So we mobilized pretty quickly when we knew that sort of lockdowns were happening and then this was going to be a community and, frankly, worldwide crisis. So our basic needs task force meets monthly anyway, and since this whole thing began, we've started meeting once or twice a week. Some of the things that we've done have been to establish an emergency food delivery process. We've collected and delivered medical supplies to the hospitals, primarily from school districts, but also from some businesses. We have worked on ensuring that there are Wi-Fi hotspots set up around the community. In doing so, we not only kind of listed the existing ones that are at different existing businesses, but also worked with a couple of libraries to extend their Wi-Fi out into the parking lot to keep people safe so that they can stay in their cars or far apart from one another to get Wi-Fi. We've been talking about how we can engage children online to kind of supplement what they're already doing by developing some virtual extracurricular activities. So it's been pretty wide-ranging, and this all on top of just, frankly, working to establish some funds to ensure that people have their needs taken care of.
And what is the scope of that work? How many people have been involved? How many people helped? Give our audience some sort of a sense of what the need is.
Well, so our basic needs task force, we probably have about 20 to 30 people on the task force. There's been a core group of about a dozen of us meeting on a regular basis, and they're leaders from organizations all across the valley, not just community action agencies, but also Salvation Army. We've got a couple of government leaders. Linda Culver regularly participates, and or a member of her staff, and of course United Way staff members. The community action agencies, both Union Snyder and CSO, have been our primary partners in ensuring that we are delivering the correct and ample services to individuals. I would say it was pretty quiet for the first couple of weeks, and things really started amping up midweek last week. I know that at last count, the Snyder Community Action Agency has more than 20 people already on their caseload within the last week who need help with everything from navigating housing resources to making sure that their utilities stay on after this crisis is over, to really connecting with job resources. So it's very wide-ranging, and we are very grateful for the Degenstein Foundation, because right away they helped us establish this fund and get it out so people didn't have to wait. We were able to plan from the get-go, which is really an advantage.
Do you find that families on the margin may be more susceptible to the coronavirus because of their lifestyles or occupations or anything?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think, we're hearing more and more about that, I think, in the news. So families in the on the margins who really, frankly, can't afford to stay home and really have always had to do what they can to find resources and fulfill their families' needs. So I think that right away puts them in a difficult position. Also, what we know, and this is, you know, I think something that will come to light long term, people who struggle with mental health or have had a history of childhood trauma, you know, it makes them more immunocompromised, more susceptible to disease. So, you know, I think that's something that long term will likely be studied. You know, but frankly, you know, we're all affected by what's going on, not just health wise, but economically. You know, people who are living on the margins can't afford to wait 3 or 4 weeks for you know, an unemployment check, and that's what we're thinking. You know, that's what we're facing right now.
Has the shutdown hurt our ability to show some of the compassion that we typically do? I mean, if I never leave my house, I may never see my neighbor, so I may never know what he or she may need.
I think it's yes and no. I mean, I really think that you know, this epidemic, the pandemic, is going to, in the long run, there are going to be some silver linings, and it's hard to see that right now with being locked down and behind closed doors for the most part and having to be socially distant. But I think it's simplified life in some ways, and, you know, with the weather being so beautiful the last few days, one of my favorite things is to sit out on my front porch, and just quite literally everybody that went by at a really safe distance said, "Hello, how are you? It's nice to see you." And people I know, people I don't know, I think eager to really make that connection. And so I think we're going to live life very differently after this, probably some for the better. But without question, you know, we have to be thinking about people feeling really isolated and feeling lonely. I know that's happening too. And so there are people in our communities that we know are susceptible to loneliness, might live alone, might be older, but really anybody who is by themselves, it's important to make sure that we check on them, reach out. I've gotten so many awesome messages from people via text, voicemail, social media, who are just saying, "Hey, thanks for what you're doing. I hope you're doing well," and such kind words and empathy. I actually think after this is all done, I'm hoping after this is all done, empathy, the empathetic factor will stay.
Well, you ramped us up to get us ready with the Be Kind campaign, so we were already thinking, what can I do? A month later, here we are, where those turn into marching orders, and we really have to use that compassion. Is 211 use on the increase?
Absolutely. We're seeing up to double the call volume we normally see, and for those who don't know what 211 is, it's a helpline, so it's a human services information resource and referral. So if somebody needs, for example, to know where the closest food distribution is, or needs help with housing, they might be homeless or struggling to pay their rent, they can call 211 to get resources, to get connected to resources. If somebody needs an emergency food delivery on the weekend, they're connecting directly with the agencies who will do that. So yes, we're seeing a definite increase of calls to 211. Initially, it was actually mostly just questions about what was allowable and what wasn't. So 211 reported that they were seeing people or hearing people call and saying, you know, what does self-isolation mean? What do I have to do when it comes to social distancing? Am I allowed to do this and that? But within the last week, since April started, we're starting to see a lot more calls about housing and utilities and medical questions and things like that. So it's a mixed bag, but for sure people are using it, and we're recommending that people use it. So they have all of our information centrally, so anybody who needs information about anything can call 211 and they'll get connected with the proper resource.
And are there a sufficient number of places of food giveaways around here? We talked about the YMCA and some other ones that are operating. Shikalimi's doing their meal program. Do we have enough food to go around?
Yeah, I really think we do. I mean, this is one area where people have stepped up incredibly, and the way that the government has loosened the guidelines has enabled us to get to people who are most vulnerable. For example, people who don't have transportation and can't get to the food pantry when they need to really make those resources available. And that has been a really heartening thing to see. I think that's on the public and on the private end. The school backpack programs have really stepped up. to not just feed the kids but feed the families. There's a lot of private distributions. I would say in most areas we're seeing weekly distribution. A lot of the pantries have, you know, doubled or tripled the number of distributions they have. If they were only doing twice a month before, now they're doing once a week. So the hardest part is the food supply chain. It's really not necessarily the money not being available. It's really being able to get what people need. And that's not obviously just affecting food pantries. That's affecting places like Wise Markets. It's why you see the shelves empty. It's not because they're not ordering them, not ordering items. It's because the suppliers are running low, and they've had to really work hard to adjust the supply chain, and that's been a real challenge.
All right. If folks need to get a hold of Joanne Trailman at the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way or The United Way, gsvuw.org. They are on Facebook, or you can call 211. Joanne's coming back at 7:40, so Joanne, you stand by. I'll put you on hold. You can hang up or call back. That's your choice. We'll be back on at 7:40, and we're going to talk about, trying to get into some kind of a groove of what is the new normal. The Susquehanna Valley Helpers. We'll talk about the teleconference tomorrow. You can talk about what kind of information you'll have there. So please stand by, Joanne. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Thank you. I will do.
Politics, sports, entertainment. Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super duper glad that you're there. Don't forget Outbreak Coronavirus, our clearinghouse page, always up to date at WKOK.com. It's got all the information you need to know, links, advice, information, even instructions on how to sing the happy birthday song two times. So that's a lot for me to try to remember, but I can do it. On the news line with us now, Joanne Trailman, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way, talking about this huge scope of outreach and assistance and help and socially distant go-to information and food and funding and probably some rare cases and really just help for people that's out there. Thanks for calling in, Joanne.
Thanks for inviting me.
Are you starting to get into some kind of a new normal groove where this pandemic normal has taken over? And, you know, every day you probably do a lot of work from by telephone. Are we enjoying any kind of a new normal now?
You know, I think this week we really hit our stride. It really helped to know that April 30th, I mean, if that's not the final deadline, it's at least we know that we'll be hunkered down until then, at least. So it's helped us kind of do some midterm planning. And yeah, I mean, we have a kind of a regular schedule where we check in with our basic needs task force and our partner agencies. And, you know, I think that has really been helpful, and it's been gratifying to see how people have come together.
Have you already noticed some lessons learned, maybe more collaboration with other agencies or organizations that you might not have contacted quite as frequently in the past? Are we going to be better at this in the future?
I think this has enabled everybody to kind of set aside any, you know, there's always this sort of, I think, underlying competitive spirit with nonprofits. And I think immediately, as soon as we knew this was as serious as it was, everybody put that aside. And it's enabled us to really create systems that we've been wanting to create for a while. And it's helped us at United Way, frankly, lift up some of those partner agencies who do awesome work anyway every day, to really just say, we trust you. We're going to find, you know, the resources, and we're going to empower you to do what you do best. So whatever we have to do to get it out there, you know, that's been challenging because, you know, there are nonprofits out there which, you know, have had to close their doors either because they're non-essential or because of revenue. But because most of the you know, county services and state services are only accessible online, there are a lot of nonprofits in our valley who are filling that need right now, even more so than they normally do. So it's been a really interesting couple of weeks, but I do feel like everybody knows their role now and respects that.
3 weeks ago, we talked to you on the newsline as you were already in the process of ramping up all this outreach and aid. You talked about a group, the Susquehanna Valley Helpers. Did I catch that name right? Is that a cohesive group, per se?
Yeah, it's a group on social media where we're sharing needs and resources. You know, there have been so many groups that have really popped up everywhere, and that has been one of them. There's a group that's pulling together PPE, basically, you know, fabric masks right now for people in need. We're going to have an announcement coming out today about that. So, yeah, I mean, I think this has really been a great opportunity to share information with one another and get news out there, and everybody is just being very empathetic and selfless, and it's been really great to see.
All right, well, there's probably, I could ask a dozen follow-up questions, but I know you have some things you want to get out and things that it's important that we bring up. Tell us more about some of the things that you have that we have to get on the radio today.
Well, for one, I really want to thank the school districts. You know, every school district in our community has, in our region, has worked really hard, not just to feed families, feed kids, but also to make sure children stay enriched and educated. We know that it can be a really dangerous time for kids to be home, you know, potentially raising the risk of abuse. And so districts have really worked hard to support families through this and to kind of minimize the risks of that happening. We are worried and concerned about the mental health, especially of our children and our adolescents. And so, you know, that's I think, mental health is going to be a long-term issue related to this. I'm not going to be surprised if we see rates of PTSD go up after this. I mean, it perfectly, you know, people who haven't struggled as much with their mental health, you know, neighbors and friends are reporting, you know, I can't even go to the grocery store without feeling overwhelmed. So that's something we're really going to pay attention to. I want to encourage everybody who has a need, or if you know someone who has a need or you need information, call 211. 211 is a great resource. We're trying to funnel everybody in that direction. They're a great filter to be able to tell you exactly who to call when you have a need. So that, I think, is incredibly important. And finally, I do want to mention a couple of fundraising initiatives. You know, we were so blessed to be able to have some starting funds from the Degenstein Foundation. We're working with the community action agencies to make sure individual needs are taken care of. Community action agencies make sure that they're leveraging state and federal resources and other local resources first. And then the Degenstein Foundation funds are really designed to fill in the gap for those people who would fall through the cracks. But we are also partnering with community foundations locally. The Central Susquehanna Community Foundation has a fund as well as a grant round out right now. That due date is actually today, I believe, for nonprofits. It's the first round. The first community foundation, we have the COVID-19 United Community Fund. We're launching that pretty broadly. There's been starting money that has been out there from the United Way, from some corporations, as well as some very generous funds from the First Community Foundation. And finally, we are going to be doing a telethon with WBRE in the coming weeks. We'll be releasing more information about that. The last thing I want to mention is that we are planning a distribution of fabric masks to those in need this Saturday. So we'll be posting, we don't have all the details hammered out yet, but hope to have that by midday, and we'll be posting that out there on social media.
And, okay, so you don't have the details yet, but let us know when that happens. Yeah, I think a lot of folks are kind of in the bandana mode, wondering what's the ideal way and where can I get to some masks. So that'll be Saturday, so we'll be paying attention to that. You're going to participate in Senator John Gordner's teleconference tomorrow. Will you have any sort of a preamble as you get on the line there? I know primarily answering questions is what those are about, but do you have an opening statement that you'll have then that'll talk about what you hope to offer?
I think two things. I think, number one, take care of each other. You know, we need to be ever vigilant about one another's mental health needs and emotional needs and physical needs, frankly, right now. And number two, if you or someone you know is in need, you know, call 211. I think that, again, I said it earlier, I think there'll be some silver linings, and one of them, I believe, will be we've really managed to hone our systems and continue to do so really minute to minute at this point. And 211 is a big tool that we are using, and so I could not be prouder of my colleagues at 211 who have really made that happen.
Well, and you mentioned PTSD. Explain how that is just part of everyone's conversation who is concerned about the mental health sort of concerns that pop up for everybody, not just into, you know, one or two people, but for everyone around here.
I think, you know, it's nearly half of all people, teenagers and adults, struggle with some level of mental health challenge. Anxiety is a big one. You know, I think we struggle with anxiety on a day-to-day basis. And I think, I believe that this social isolation, but also having to be so careful about spreading illness, about infection control when we're out and about, is really weighing on people. And so I think the concern is, how long will that last? You know, I'm not a psychologist or mental health professional, but in hearing what others are saying, is that is not going to be short-lived. You know, even if we go back to quote-unquote normal a month from now, nothing is really ever going to be normal again. In a way, this is I think, you know, the Surgeon General referred to it as our 9/11 moment. And I think really what he meant by that is, this is the thing that's really going to be life-altering for nearly everyone, but especially those who are, you know, struggle to begin with, you know, are most vulnerable. So we need to make sure that we have resources available for that. And that's something I'm really concerned about. We don't have the resources now. We didn't have the resources before that. So we're going to have to become really creative and really loosen some regulations on how we're supporting people through mental health crises.
We will check in the coming weeks and make sure that all of these important topics that you're talking about are still thriving as we hopefully start to wrap up some of the stay-at-home time. But anytime before then, you need an update, have one of your good staff members or helpers or anybody call in. We can make sure that they get an open mic to talk about whatever needs to be publicized around here. Thank you so much, Joanne. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you so much, and thanks for all you're doing.
All right, thank you. Joanne Trautman, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way. You can contact them at gsvuw.org. They have a pretty vibrant Facebook page that's up and running. You can call 211 if you want to tap into that human service hotline that's being run statewide, that's getting increasing use. And you can call the United Way office. They're not staffing the office itself on Arch Street, but they are regularly checking the messages, and that number is 570-988-0993, and that's 570-988-0993.